Invisible Choir, a true crime podcast that explores the most egregious and heinous murders through primary source audio and investigative storytelling. These are the tragic stories of the missing and the dead, their voices reaching out from beyond the grave, seeking peace and yearning for justice. Subscribe today on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Go to InvisibleChoir.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Amy.
And I'm Rachel.
And we are Spree. Every 2 weeks, we like to bring the best British cases, ranging from heists to serial killers to general misfortune.
Each episode will also offer an unsolved mystery, conspiracy, ghost story, or legend.
We then chase it down with a dose of our favourite dumb criminals.
Check us out on iTunes and Podbean, and follow us on Twitter at Spree Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast, truly one of the most unusual ever recorded, contains dribble, slang, and frank discussion of subject matter which under no circumstances should be heard by small children, persons with a heart condition, or anyone who is upset easily. If you are such a person, or if you're the parent of a very small child in the room, we urge you to switch off your streaming device now.
Hey, Cam, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
What's going on?
How's school going?
Oh, it's going. Just like can't make this stuff up. Thursday evening, the state of Florida executed a serial killer by the name of Gary Ray Bowles.
Yeah.
Bowles. I kept saying Bowles, but I think it's Bowles.
Texas also executed somebody on the 21st. His name was Terry Swearingen. Well, Larry Swearingen, sorry.
What'd you say?
Terry.
Oh,
Terry. Larry. And that's Terry's his brother, Larry.
That's right.
Terry walks the straight line. Larry, not him.
Nope.
Well,
Larry's crooked.
He's not working at all. He's not walking at all now. So
no,
it's
he
all
is
good.
Not.
Anyway, go ahead. Your
Bowles
story. Sorry.
Was executed for killing a series of men. He was also known as the I-95 killer. He preyed on gay men. He was executed in the state of Florida on Thursday evening.
Hmm.
So that was a perfect segue into my Friday crime class in which we talked about serial killers and we read about him. The kids took a quiz on serial killers and if they knew them. And we're about halfway through that talking about that. So,
what did your kids think about that?
It's kind of fun to pick these young minds and things. So I asked them, this serial killer only killed gay men. However, they believe he did, in fact, kill women, but he would never admit it and died saying that he did not.
Mm-hmm.
But they pretty much believe he did. So anyway, I was asking the kids what they thought about that and like why. And so it was interesting to see why they thought he would only pick on gay men. And they're pretty smart.
What did they say?
Well, some of them were like men are stronger, so he picked on them and maybe he had some sort of like chauvinist view of women. So he couldn't admit that he would kill them. Others were like, he never claimed to be gay or bisexual, but perhaps he was, which is what I would believe.
Mm-hmm.
My little protégés.
I do have some shout outs for some very nice people who have left reviews on either iTunes or our Facebook page.
Yay, let's hear them, shall we?
Well, the first ones are from iTunes reviews or Apple reviews now, I guess. TC Fan, Claude Lady, who listens all the way from Germany.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that cool?
Way cool.
Which is very cool.
That makes me excited.
Another person is Emily from Morbidology.
Hi, Emily.
Left a review. If you haven't listened to her podcast, do.
It's love that name.
Great. Morbidology.
Yeah.
She had a blog and then she started a podcast. Mm-hmm. She's a beautiful girl.
Of course.
Woman, I
just
should
like
say.
Me.
And then nice people left us reviews on our Facebook page.
Yay.
And the following are
dun, 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 dun.
Renice.
Thanks.
Jennifer Lynn.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
And Jessica. Thanks, Gibby.
Thanks. I couldn't help.
I know.
Couldn't help it. Couldn't help it.
I know. Anyway, so what do you have for us today?
Well, speaking of serial killers, I have a little story. When I was working with my class and stuff and preparing their serial killer quiz, I came across this and I was like, huh, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to find
see
out
what it is.
So then that's what I have today.
Woohoo! Let's hear it.
When someone says Whitechapel, London, and 1880s, most people know that we're referring to
Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper. Jack was one of the first serial killers to terrorize with no reason, and to this day remains unsolved. Although many think they know who it is, it has yet to be proven. His killings have been covered with countless books and movies and have led, as we know, to more than a few copycat killings. Derek Brown. But perhaps the biggest one is one many may not have heard of. This brutal murderer killed more victims than his famous namesake. He was known as Jack the Stripper.
Ooh.
The murders would be known, or would come to be known, as the Hammersmith Nude Murders.
Hmm.
Now, our good buddy Nico, he's going to know all these towns, so if I say I'm wrong, Nico, let me know.
We'll change him. Did he leave a trail of dollar bills? Is that how they caught him?
That's kind of why I looked it up, Jen, because I was like, Jack the Stripper? What did he do?
What bar does he hang out at?
You know, yeah. All that was intriguing to me, of course.
Of course it was.
He just doesn't say around.
Anything about sex, man, you're on it.
I know. It's a blessing and a curse.
It is.
It is. It is. I'm Camille, and today I'm going to bring you the story of Jack the Stripper.
Dun, dun, dun.
Drunk history. I love it. That's all I can hear in my head. The story begins in June 1959. Two London officers were just walking their beat when they noticed something under some brush. And it was not
a mannequin.
As they approached, there was no mistaking what it was. It was the body of a young woman. Her clothes had been ripped off, exposing her breast and midriff. She had marks around her neck that would lead to believe she was, in fact, strangled. She was missing her panties and her shoes. We all know girls never go anywhere without a full outfit.
Well, and once upon a time in Hollywood, they do.
Police looked to the public for help in identifying this young lady. The woman would turn out to be a prostitute slash sex worker.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say sex because they all are. So it goes on and on. You know what I mean? Like, so I can't just keep saying the word sex worker. I'll go back. Mm-hmm. The woman would turn out to be a prostitute named Elizabeth Figg, age 21, who often worked this area located near the Thames River. Sex workers would often work in this area as it was desolate, but not far from a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. It wasn't
behind a tree.
Right.
A little snuggle, snuggle. Police would come together and then fan out and try to find someone that saw something. And all they could come up with was this pub owner who was located nearby who said he heard a woman scream, but that's it. Not much to go on. Police searched the area and never found her missing items of clothing, and soon the case went cold. Just another sex worker killed by her John.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Was she mutilated like Jack the Ripper's?
No.
Okay. She was just strangled.
Yeah. Strangled and, like, brutalized. The next one's got her teeth knocked out. All is quiet for a while until November 8th, 1963. Once again, police officers were walking the beat near Hammersmith, near the Thames River, when they noticed what looks to be, again, like a body in a bunch of trash. The body would turn out to be a 22-year-old named Gwyneth Rees. The location in which she was found was about a mile from the site of the previous victim's location. Rees was a little bit different. Again, she was stripped naked. Mm-hmm. She had less clothes on than the previous victim. She had one stocking on, but that stocking was only lowered down to her ankle.
Now, by stocking, do you mean like
stocking.
A...
Whoop, whoop, stocking.
Hose.
Yes, hose.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be called stockings.
They were nylons. Stocking.
Nylons.
Nylons.
She was different in that she had several of her teeth knocked out. And again, it looked like she had been strangled. Now, this is pretty interesting and horrid at the same time. A few of the articles that I read, which will be cited at the end of our episode, stated
in the show notes, or are you going to read them?
No, I'm not going to read them. I do read one, but just because
it's
important, because it's more recent. A few articles that I had read stated, and how awful is this? She had been decapitated accidentally by trash men that were there and working to pick up the trash.
Right.
They had a shovel and accidentally decapitated her. How awful would that be? That's a bad date word.
Terrible.
So it's at this point that I must mention here that these two victims that we've just talked about have never actually been proved to be from the work of Jack the Stripper, but later were connected after subsequent victims were found. I just wanted to do the victims in the order that they were found.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next victim was a 30 year-old named Hannah Talfert. Talfert was found on February 2nd, 1964, near the Hammersmith Bridge. She, too, had been strangled, and several of her teeth were missing. At this time, he changed the way he was doing things, and he left a little something behind that he had not done previously. He had stuffed her panties down her throat and left them there. It's only 2 months later that yet another body was discovered. It's April 8th, 1964, and a female was found on the shore of the Thames River at Corney Reach, Cheswick. Now, that's not very far from where Talfert had been found. The victim would turn out to be a 25-year-old pregnant woman named Irene Lockwood. Now, if I haven't made
it she a sex worker?
Clear already yet, all of these women were sex workers. Mm-hmm. She, too, had been strangled to death, and just as the previous one, also, she had not been sexually assaulted. Police were convinced at this time that the deaths were, in fact, connected, which meant they had a serial killer, which that term had not yet been coined. But there was a serial killer on the loose, and they needed to step up the investigation if they're going to get to him before he attacks again. Sadly, they would not be able to work fast enough. With no witnesses to the crime, police were left scratching their heads. Thankfully, they were about to get their first real clue. 22-year-old Helen Bartholomew was found on April 24th, 1964. Notice how many were killed in such a short amount of time.
Well, he's also ramping up.
Yeah, he is.
Because it was the one was sloppy. In November and then beginning of April, now the middle of April.
Unlike the other victims, her body was found in an alleyway in the rear of 199 Boston Manor Road, Brentford. Like the other victims, she had been stripped of her clothing. She was also strangled. Once again, there were no witnesses, but the police did find something. There were flecks of automobile paint on the victim's body. Now the authorities had something to work with, and they believed that the killer may work perhaps as a painter for a car dealership or an automobile industry of some sort. The police hit the pavement, began canvassing all the shops in the area looking for suspects.
I guess her body wasn't hard enough to be hit by a car. I don't know.
And plus, I don't think the person that was driving the car would get out and then strip her of her clothes and strangle her. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. At this time in the crime spree, the press had now sniffed out these crimes, and they were getting wind of things that were going on. And
they were getting wind because they were sniffing it, right?
They were getting wind that things were taking place, you know. You and I have talked about this before on the podcast, and that is that the press loves to give nicknames and monikers to killers.
And then killers love their nicknames and monikers.
Or they'll invent it for themselves and send a letter to them saying, this is what you need to call me. Making the connection with one of the most famous of London's murderers, the fact that the women were sex workers and their bodies were found partially clothed or all the way nude, Jack the Stripper was born.
Woo!
Or named.
Named.
Jack the Ripper was never caught, though. So would they have that in common, too?
I hope not.
Mary Fleming would become the next victim of Jack the Stripper. The 30-year-old was found July 14, 1964, on a street in Cheswick. Strangled to death, as well as the other victims, she too had paint chips found on her body. This time, however, people heard a car reversing, or so they thought it was reversing, to get out of the area just prior to when her body was found. Even though the police are getting closer and more clues are coming with each body, they're still struggling to find this elusive killer. October 23rd, 1964, 21-year-old Frances Brown, a local sex worker, was hanging out with her friend, Kim Taylor. Kim Taylor is also a sex worker. As they're kind of hanging out, just waiting for, I guess, a customer to show up, a man pulls up in a car and he approaches them. Brown, sadly, would be the one to take the man's offer and hop in the car. That would be the last time anyone would see her alive. On November 25th, her body was found in an alleyway on Horton Street in Kensington. She was also found strangled to death, but this time her friend could provide somewhat of a description of the man as well as of the car that pulled up and took her away. She had told the police that she thought it was a Ford Zephyr or a Ford Zodiac. Have you ever heard of those two?
No, they must be just something that you can get overseas.
Now, here's where we get our lesson in. For
or there's today. Something like a Ford Tempo that's been rebranded overseas to make it sound better.
Zephyr or Zodiac? Zephyr. Yeah. It's at this point in the show that I have a little tidbit for some conspiracy theorists out there. Frances Brown, along with another one of these ladies that had been found murdered, testified in a 1963 trial of Stephen Thomas Ward. Who's Stephen Thomas Ward, you say? I can tell by that look on your face.
Is he related to Ward Cleaver?
No. But now is your time for a short Brit history lesson. You ready? Because I had to go look up this guy and see what the deal was. Stephen Ward was an English osteopath and an artist, and he was also one of the central figures in the 1963 Profumo affair.
Ooh.
Ooh. This was a huge British political scandal, which led to the resignation of the Secretary of State for War, John Profumo, which then contributed to the defeat of the Conservative government just a year later.
Wow.
That's actually pretty big.
That's huge,
right?
That's a huge sex scandal.
To make this long story shorter, I'm going to sum this up pretty quickly for you. Ward introduced Profumo, that's the guy, John, to a 19-year-old showgirl and nightclub model named Christine Keller. Profumo, who was married to the actress Valerie Hobson at the time, began a brief affair with Keller. Of course he did. Enter, here's our espionage, the dark side. Enter Russian staff member Yevgeny Ivanov, known by the MI5 to be an intelligence officer.
Oh, MI5's involved now.
I know, right? Ward, who knew of him, was solicited by the British intelligence agency, who wanted Ward to get to him in an attempt to secure Ivanov's defection. The matter became complicated when, through Ward, Ivanov, now stay with me now, Ivanov met Keeler, that little 19-year-old cutie.
Right.
And then it all came around that maybe, just maybe, Profumo, Keeler, and Ivanov had a little love triangle going on.
But this is all conspiracy theory, correct? This isn't what happened.
No, this
I mean, really what happened, but this is for conspiracy theorists, correct?
Well, it's girls that were sex workers testified in the trial of this guy.
Okay.
And this is very relevant to today with Jeffrey Epstein and everything, because they were sex workers, they were prostitutes, they were pulled in, I'm sure, to act as friends
of
these high-powered political people. So both of those two out of the six testified in this dude's trial and ended up dying, okay?
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Catherine Keating, which she is the daughter of Paul Keating, who was a former prime minister.
Okay. And what does that have to do with any of this?
She was seen leaving the place where Epstein and Prince Andrew.
Oh, yeah. Okay, back to me now, Jen. I got to get through this.
So they're thinking that maybe she was one of the victims.
Profumo ended the relationship with Keeler when his private life went public and hit the press. Oops. Profumo at first denied it all. Of course he did, to the House of Commons. But a few weeks later, he admitted that, yes, he did, in fact, have the affair.
I do not recall.
He resigned his office, parliamentary seat, and membership of the Privy Council. Amid a range of rumors and widespread sex scandals in government and high society, this was huge. The police went to investigate him, and in June 1963, he was charged with immorality offenses, and he went to trial. And it was in that trial that followed in July 1963 that two of the six women that were attributed to be victims of Jack the Stripper would, in fact, go and testify in his trial.
Wow.
Before the verdict was announced, and there's something to be said about in this case that we're talking about, he ended up committing suicide by taking a bottle of pills.
So my question is, was he really up on immorality charges, or did they just say it was, but was there actually different charges and they just said that they were immorality charges?
In June 1963, he was charged with immorality offenses and committed to trial. In that trial that followed in June 1963, Ward was abandoned by all his friends and exposed to a bunch of terrible things. Despite the evidence and the dismissal of most of the charges against him, he was convicted on two counts of living off immoral earnings.
Mm.
So I guess he was living off the...
Immoral is just another word for...
country's
right
money, right?
So he was stealing, embezzling.
However, before the verdict was announced, Ward took an overdose of sleeping pills and died 3 days later.
Wow.
Now, you're going to notice there's a lot of suicides going on in here. Seriously, it's a little... just wait. That, again, was courtesy of Wikipedia. Thank you for that awesome history lesson on British government scandals. Now, back to Jack. Jack would strike once more, and this would turn out to be his last victim. Bridget O'Hara, a 27-year-old sex worker, was found inside a shed behind the Heron Trading Estate. Again, paint chips were found at the scene, but there was more. The chips were traced back to a transformer merely yards from her body. Like a previous victim, there were signs that she had perhaps been stored in a warm environment before actually being located. Police are wondering now if the killer was holding his victims inside perhaps the paint shop where he worked before disposing of them. And that only gets you thinking to all the weird stuff he was doing. I don't even want to think about that. At this point, authorities are desperate to solve these murders. A chief superintendent named John DeRose was put in charge of the investigation. Investigators were able to track the paint chips to a location not far from where that last victim was found. Police started staking out people and even following them. They would kind of stake out the local warehouses and things and see the workers, and they would actually follow them home. DeRose would later say that there were well over 6,000, maybe even closer to 7,000 interviews that were conducted, but not so sure about that because DeRose also kind of liked to tell some stories. He'd hold press conferences and not quite tell the truth about various things. I guess trying to lead the public to thinking that they were safe and then also maybe to scare the guy because he would say, we're down to 10 people we know that did it. Now we're down to 3. But he was lying because it was not
right.
True. So who did it? Let's take a look at some of our possible suspects, shall we?
Are they the usual suspects?
Let's start with a man named Kenneth Archibald. 57-year-old Archibald was a caretaker who just one day walked into the Notting Hill police station and said, hey, I killed Irene Lockwood. Archibald was charged with the murder, and he stood trial in June 1964 for it. And that was it. The end. Nope. What are you doing there? Archibald changed his mind. He retracted his confession and pleaded not guilty. Since there was no evidence to actually link him to the crime, he was found not guilty by a jury and acquitted. Next up, we have British light heavyweight boxing champion Freddie Mills. Mills did slightly resemble that sketch that was made by the one witness who saw her friend get in the car and never be seen again. Uh-huh. A gangster named Frankie Frazier claimed that Mills confessed to him that he was Jack the Stripper. Frazier took the information to police, who informed Superintendent DeRose about it. Later in a book that DeRose would actually write, he never mentioned Mills, as he really didn't think he was, in fact, Jack the Stripper. Mills would be found in a car with a bullet in his head, the result of a suicide.
Hmm.
Another possible suspect is a murderer known as Harold Jones. At the age of 15, Jones killed two young girls in 1921. And because he was so young, he was sentenced to life in prison rather than the death penalty. He was released 20 years later. Neil Millikins, who wrote a book entitled Who Was Jack the Stripper, released in 2011, check it out, believed that Jones was in fact the perpetrator. Jones' earlier murders of the two young girls were very similar to all the stripper victims. None were sexually assaulted, but all were strangled to death. Milligans had traced the murderer's movements when he was researching for another book he was writing. He concluded that the same 3 years Jones's whereabouts were unknown, they couldn't find him, I guess, from 1962 to 1965, a number of prostitutes had been murdered in the same West London area.
Hmm.
Jones died in Hammersmith in 1971, never revealing a word.
Wow.
We see this a lot with some of these big cases where they have a lot of inside information and very complicated. So that was the case with this as well. There were some rumblings that a police officer was actually the culprit.
That would make sense.
There was no proof to prove this. And really, nothing to even link it to the crimes. However, there have been more than a few people over the years that have stated that they believe it was in fact an officer who was responsible for all these heinous crimes. I could see that could happen, right? You could totally be able to control the investigation.
Mm-hmm. And you would know what the police could investigate. Mm-hmm. It happens a lot.
That's what, yeah. Mm. And finally, Jen, we're brought to the man that Superintendent DeRose believes is most likely the killer. As police were following many of the workers at the Heron Trading Estate that I talked about earlier, there was one man in particular that stuck out. It was a man in his mid-40s by the name of, remember I said I like these names, mm-hmm. Mungo Ireland.
Mungo Ireland?
Yep, Mungo Ireland. Ireland worked as a security guard at the trading estate. Now, for Superintendent DeRose, he believed that this was most likely the suspect, but Ireland would commit suicide shortly after the connection was made by means of carbon monoxide poisoning. He left a note for his wife saying that, quote, "To save you and the police from looking for me, I'll be in the garage," end quote.
Hmm.
Newer research on this case suggests that Ireland was, in fact, in Scotland at the time of some of these murders, so it would make it unlikely that he was the killer of all of them. It is important to note here that all of the killings stopped after his death.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, Jen, here we have it. With 6 known, and possibly 8, those first two, as I stated, mm-hmm. were not ever positively linked to him. All the victims of the brutal sadist would be similar in fashion. All stripped of their clothing, or nearly stripped, dumped near or on the shores of the famed Thames River in London. They were all sex workers trying to make a living for themselves when they met the stranger in the dark and would end up strangled and left for dead.
Mm.
It has been more than 55 years since the first victim would top the list of those murdered by a man who would become known as Jack the Stripper. And that means it's also been 55 years since these horrid crimes would go unsolved and continue to go unsolved for now, anyway.
Wow. So, do you think they'll ever solve it?
No, because I think most of the people are dead in connection with it. I think the times, but like, I think we talked about this. The paint chips,
mm-hmm.
where today, you know, they'd be like, "This paint chip is MCLL Red Number 5, and it comes from the east side of London, manufactured in only one of two plants." And back then it's like, oh, look, there's red paint chips. What's red? Right. They didn't have the technology.
But it was automobile paint, right?
Yeah. They did that. And there was the transformer behind one of the bodies was painted with that as well. They thought that maybe, not painted, I'm sorry. Yes, no, the transformer was painted with that red chip that was found on her body.
Now that was automotive paint?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that would be industrial paint to paint metal, I would assume. It would all be similar.
I don't know anything about that. Well, very interesting.
Yeah, terrible.
Too bad he wasn't the stripper, though. Too bad he wasn't actually a stripper.
I was kind of excited. Why? That's why I had
to look it up.
Jack the Stripper. Right. I would have been Jack the Strangler. That's what I would have went with.
Yeah.
I mean, they named him Stripper because obviously he stripped
the women of their
scantily
clothes.
Scantily clad, left them scantily clad or nude.
But it's weird that they didn't.
But that's what I think is weird. The no sexual assault of that many, 6 to 8. And
strangling takes a long time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A long time.
Mm-hmm. And
And it takes a lot of...
And that's why I'm guessing only 2 of them had their teeth knocked out. And I bet you they were making noise. They were being loud. So
they punched them or something?
Punched them, yeah.
Did it say if he used anything to strangle them? Like if his hands or if they put anything around their necks?
It just said that looked like strangulation marks found, you know?
Yeah, so probably... I don't know.
I used 6 sources, Jen, 6 articles. I didn't want to get 6? Into a book because, you know... Well, I like to pull them up and then cross-reference them and make sure it's all correct and the names are all the right way and all that stuff. And then, you know, that's how I do it because I do not by at all write this stuff on my own. I mean, I do put it into my own words.
Right.
Some of those cheesy phrases.
Yeah, I did the exact same thing.
It's best that way. But
You write cheesy.
I like cheesy.
You're a wordaholic.
I know. I'm a wordsmith.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah. I think it'll be like Jack the Ripper. It's people... can connect the dots and say, I really think this is the person who did it.
But since everybody's passed away,
there's no way to ultimately prove it.
And there would never get any...
Yeah, you just can't. It's just different.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well,
that's it. Tell people where they can find
us. You can find us. Well, actually, but you know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to say, you know what? We've heard that if you rate and review us on Apple, we have a better chance of getting our names out there. That's what I've heard. I don't know. So it would be very nice and very sweet.
I really just want to get 100,000 reviews.
And it would be really nice if we didn't have 2,000 to pay for them.
Or 300. Let's be honest. 300 reviews. I'd take that.
I'd
positive.
Take 250. I'd take 5 at this point. So if you guys could please rate and review us on iTunes. And also, you know what? Tell your friends.
And tell your
coworkers.
Friends.
Tell anybody who will listen.
Even if you hate us. Hey, you know what? Tell somebody, because then maybe somebody will listen to us and say, hey, I like them. You never know.
We might. We just need a little boost. We're kind of stagnant. So we would like to get a little bit more.
Stagnant. Sorry.
No. We just help us. We want to grow and we need to grow like a little flower, like DeRose. So anyway, you can find us on the Twitter. Our handle is at our True Crime Pod. We have Facebook discussion group and a regular page that posts all our episodes. We also have a blog, www.ourtruecrimepodcast.com. You can find us on all the major podcast catchers. Google, if you have any questions. If you really hate us, don't leave a review. Just email us. It's ourtruecrimepodcast@gmail.com. And we would love to hear from you, even if you like us, if you want to do anything.
Drop a note and say, hey.
And if you want to send us anything, you can send us something sweet. It's Our True Crime Podcast, P.O. Box 34, Imperial, Missouri 63052. Please do not send us any forms of anthrax.
Rattlesnakes, like our good friend McElroy.
Yeah, don't send rattlesnakes. Don't send anything that would hurt us. No fetish things.
Nothing leather, no whips, no chains. All right, remember, Jen, lock your doors.
And keep passing by those open windows.
Bye-bye.
Love ya.
Hi, Nico. Is that your dog cleaning? Okay, because I was like...
He's licking his paws.
Okay, because I heard it, and I was like, what the hell is that?
It's really nice when you're trying to go to bed at night.
Oh my God, because I'm a little bit sexual. Okay.
Let's hear it for the boy.
And every time I start these, I still think of Drunk History. Didn't I say that the last episode? Because that's all I can think of now. When I'm speaking, I hear myself saying this.
Well, you are usually drunk when you do this.
Well,
okay.
5 o'clock this morning,
listen,
no.
Let's just put it this way. You are usually drunk. There. Does that work?
I hate you.
Yeah, no, I know.
Okay, that's here amazing. We go. The story begins in June 1959. Trying not to read since we got in trouble for that. I'm trying to, because especially since...
I didn't get in trouble for that.
I did. That's, well...
I...
Of course, you never get in trouble for anything.
Oh, yeah, right. How many people get fired almost at every job they've had? See this? The mouth? It gets me in trouble.
It all... Just another sex worker killed by her John.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Was she mutilated like Jack the Ripper's?
No.
Okay. She was just strangled.
Yeah. Strangled and like brutalized. The next one's got her teeth knocked out. But
oh, okay. So it's more like Jack the half-assed...
Jack the lazy stripper ripper?
Jack the strangler?
I did think that. I was like, I guess because it's that area, they named him that. Because I was like, I would have went, what's the strangler?
Well, I think the reason why they named him what he did is because how he did it. So,
well,
Jack the Ripper just totally mutilated the bodies.
Yeah.
So that's why
they went with Jack the Ripper, but they went with Jack the Stripper because he strips their clothes off.
Okay.
So that's why I had to look it up because, you know, me and sex.
I know.
So I was just like, where did he get that name?
You always want what you can't have. So
it's
I
true.
Know.
Okay, hold on. Reg, are you comfortable there, buddy?
Got it.
Look at those ears. Look.
Do you need a pillow?
You need anything? You need your little paws massaged and your little back massage? You okay?
Talk about street urchins, man. He needs to get to the beauty shop. How far along was she?
It never said, and I looked up. I was on 6 different articles, Jen, and all of them just said she's pregnant. A couple of them didn't even say she was pregnant, but almost say she was pregnant because several of them did. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. The consensus say.
And the consensus answer 25 people say. No, what's he say?
Survey says.
There we go. That one.
Well, I would guess that she probably wasn't too far along.
And I'm guessing that's why it was later.
But there are... Sure, there's some kind of fetish out there. I don't know. Don't send me any information on that if you know about that. I don't know. The clue.
Do
I have my notebook?
I added on there. I love early forensics, by the way, but I didn't read that out loud. But I do love this because it's like, how primitive? Do you know what I mean? Like.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm going to say just between me and you, and put this at the end or whatever. So it's paint chips, right? So then they're like, well, let's find out where the paint chips come from, right? And I'm like laughing because in art now, they'd be like, not only where it came from, who produced it, what country it was produced in, what sheen, what was the material, you know what I'm saying? And like back then it was like, we got to find out where there's items in this world that use that color paint. You know what I mean? Just kind of funny. Okay. So it's about this time.
So, dear.
At this time, the press...
Oops, say that again. Sorry.
We should talk about that. What would our serial killer name be? We'll get back to that later, at the end of the show.
The Napper.
The Mad Napper.
The Mad Napper.
We don't know yet.
We don't know. Well, we do, kind of, but...
Is this where we'd take a break? I don't know, because I can't tell what page I'm on because I'm on my phone.
Well, we could... Let's take a break here.
Right? That's all I'm thinking. Okay.
Place commercial here. Neat.
Remember the books where you'd ring it? As a kid, you'd ring it and then go, deek, and you'd go,
whoosh. You'd turn the page. Turn the page.
I guess that would help the readers, kids, because you know what I mean?
They were supposed to follow along, yeah.
They're still struggling to find this elusive killer.
They're struggling? Is that like snuggling and struggling?
It's snuggling with a serial killer. Yeah. Struggling.
It's you don't really want to snuggle, so you're struggling to get out. Or you're hugging somebody. You're snuggling and they don't want to.
It's snuggling with a serial killer or your husband you've been married to for 20 years. Either or.
And you want to get the fuck out.
Exactly. Where'd they go? Okay. I'm going to read that whole paragraph again. Did that flow better or not?
About Mary Fleming, who's 30, whose body was found.
I keep laughing. Jack the Stripper just makes me laugh. Stripper?
Well, I keep thinking that he's, you know, he's out there naked. He's,
that's what I keep thinking.
Like, he goes up to him and starts, he goes and starts stripping, and they're like, God, get away. And then he's like, it's like
Jack the Stripper, instead of a flasher, he just does a strip show.
Strip shows, right? Yeah.
To shock them.
And then if you don't tip him enough, he strangles you.
Sure.
Knocks your teeth out and strangles you.
God. Okay, ready? October 23rd. Wait.
All right.
I was wanting to do that. Sorry, Nico. Profumo affair? Profumo. How do you say that? I know I'm saying that wrong. Profumo. Maybe
you
not.
Pronounce it P-R-O.
F-U-M-O.
British John Profumo.
Yeah, that's him. How do you say his last name?
Profumo pronounce.
I'd say Profumo. Boy, that's some good
Profumo
you got on. What's the name of it?
Pronounce. Well, you know those people.
That Profumo you got on is not really many.
They talk funny over there.
Oh, I know. That Nico sure does talk funny.
Profumo.
Profumo. Profumo. Profumo.
Okay.
Profumo.
I'm going to say Profumo. Actually, real quick, look up Valerie. So this will make you sound smart. Actress Valerie Hobson. See what she was in.
Valerie, call me Valerie. Valerie Harper?
No, Hobson. Hobson, H-O-B.
She was an actress.
Yeah, I know.
She was an actress, and she was married. Her second husband was John Profumo, of the government.
Yagamanina Avanana. Yevgeny? Yevgeny.
That, the first one sounded right.
It's not.
What's his name?
Yeah, kidding. You're not going to say it either. It's.
Pronounce it.
Yevgeny.
Yevgeny Kalevinov.
No, his last name is Ivanov.
Oh.
But that's okay. I'm just going to call him Yev.
Yevgeny. No.
Benji.
Yeah.
For the love of Benji. Jenny. I'm going to call him Yev. I'm just going to call him Yev.
Here, let's pronounce it.
Yeah, let's not.
Pronouncenames.com.
Our show should be. We are.
Yevgeny.
You little Yevgeny, you. Our show should be.
We should be. Every time you have to say it, we should have Nico put that in.
Our show is brought to you by the fine folks at
pronouncenames.com.
It's true. All right, you ready? Yevgeny? Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds so.
Yevgeny. Profumo ended the relationship with Keeler when his private life went public and hit the press. Oops.
His private, huh?
Private life went public and hit the press. Oops. He resigned his office, parliamentary seat, and membership of the Privy Council. Should I read that in my accent?
Maybe read it in English.
He resigned his office, parliamentary seat, and membership of the Privy Council. So who did it? Let's take a look at our suspect list. Shall we, Jen? I can't talk. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Well, we got to keep it private.
Fucking hate you. Later in a book that Superintendent DeRose wrote.
Did he have DeThorns too? DeRose has DeThorns.
Later in a book that, see that one lady, see, you just got to keep going. That one lady made fun of me and said that I never acknowledge your questions. And that's why, lady, if you're listening, DeRose and DeThorns, or whatever he said.
DeThorns. I actually asked real questions and you would ignore me.
I know, because you usually, my next statement answers it. If it's a real question and I don't have an answer for it, then I look at you. My God. Okay. Where did I go? The writer Neil Milkins. Milikins. M-I-L-I-K-I-N-S. Milikins?
Yeah, I would think so. Okay.
The writer Neil Milikins.
Was he a writer?
The writer Neil Milikins, who...
There's this writer named Neil Milikins, and you know what he wrote?